This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And we are live here on Pet Life Radio and Instagram live with Dr. Jeff. Dr. Jeff for the next, hey, Deb, how are you? Sharon, how are you? So, here for the next 30 minutes or more, whatever it takes, to answer your questions and to talk about whatever you want to talk about. Here for you, here for your pets. So let's have some fun. First of all, I hope everyone had a good week and getting ready for, the hospital I'm at closes on the eve of Christmas and the eve of New Year's. When I had my own practice, we used to close early, like, you know, family can get home and prepare for the evening, et cetera, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, but they're gone for the whole day. So for me, that's terrible because I don't get to see my my patients. And then but I'll be there Friday. So this coming week, for those of you who just want to pre-plan, I'll be there on Monday and Tuesday. We're closed Wednesday, Thursday, back in on Friday. I'll be the same for next week. However, the week after that, right after New Year's, the Friday, I won't be in either because I'm actually taking a little vacation. Maybe some people say much deserved. I say, I don't know. I get nervous when I take a vacation because when I come back, I'm going to be overloaded. But in January, there are a lot of days that I'm going to be gone. So make sure to get a hold of me. But even when I'm gone, as you know, I'm always available. So if you need to get a hold of me, most of you have my cell. Most of you know, everyone knows my email. So you can always get a hold of me and we will still talk forever. I'm not going anyplace too far. I'm going to be in Puerto Vallarta. I'm going to be then back for a couple of days in Louisville and then Orlando for the VMX, the Veterinary Medical Expo. That is the greatest, greatest show. So I'll be there for VMX and then back for another week and a half. And then I'm off to Colorado, Steamboat Springs, for Colorado's Veterinary Medical Association meeting. And it is called SCICE, SKI, C-E. And I'm looking forward. That is one of my favorite. It's a great, great, great conference. Anyway, let me get some questions from you. My Life with Cordy is good morning. Give me your color. Let's see, David Golden. Hello, Bethany. How you doing, B? And I'll be talking. So after the show at 10 o'clock, we do something. We've done it ever since that group. Remember couple of years ago, we did that trip with a bunch of my high school classmates to the Rogue River in Oregon. And what we decided is sort of a pact, if you will, after that every time one of us has a birthday, we're going to do a Zoom call. Well, it turns out that five of us have December birthdays. So we are going to be having a Zoom call at 10 o'clock today with all the guys and some others have joined in, you know, over the last couple of years. And it's a lot of fun just trying to catch up. And we're a very weird high school. Most of my friends, when I ask them, do you, you know, keep in touch with anybody from high school class? They go, oh, yeah, no, or yeah, one or two people, you know, we're in at our high school. We're all friends. I see, first of all, in my class, I'm the only veterinarian. So year ahead of us, there was one, Marty Schwartz, but he retired already. And then the other two were year below me and 2 years below me, guys that are equine vets and they don't practice in Los Angeles. So I'm the only LA-based veterinarian from my era. The other couple of it that came 20 years later, but from my era, and I'm out over 50 years from high school. And anyway, so it's great because I get to see a lot of my classmates or schoolmates. Sometimes they were my big sister's class, my little sister's class, my little brother's class, but it's great. So hold on, we got a question here. Hi, doctor. I was wondering why my dogs don't drink water as much as they used to since they started cooking all their meals fresh before their diet considered a Ziwi freeze-dried venison. So it's an interesting question because I would think that when you had a freeze-dried food, what are they doing? They're taking away the moisture. So that's probably why before they're drinking more water. Now that you're doing home-cooked meals, okay, so that they're, all the water content is probably much greater within the food. Freeze-drying, look, I'm a big fan, especially if you're going to feed raw. You want at least freeze-dried or what we call high-pressure pasteurization or high-pressure processing. So they're called HPP. And So between those two, when I had my optimum food, we did both. We did HPP and freeze dried. Some good products out there that are raw are freeze dried, but it really is taking away all the water content. So in fact, some of them in the directions say you want to pre-moisten with some water. If not, they're going to drink water. So now that you are feeding home-cooked meals, which probably has a lot more water content, that's probably why they're not drinking as much. The body is amazing. Between the body and the kidneys, and at the end of this, towards this end of our show, we're going to talk about a case that I'm dealing with now and the importance of watching an animal's bathroom habits, especially when it comes to urination. And when they are urinating a lot, it's because they're drinking a lot. And when they need to drink a lot, and they are drinking a lot, then their urine is probably normal. But there are some conditions where they don't really need to drink a lot, but they are drinking a lot. So what happens? The concentration of the urine drops. We call it specific gravity. And when your specific gravity is low, that means you are drinking more than the body actually needs. The question is why? There's some diseases that'll do that. And so it's, or sometimes it's out of a need when the kidneys stop functioning well. They're not, one of the jobs of the kidney is to measure how much fluid the body needs, and it continues to keep that much fluid and urinate out the rest. When the kidneys stop working well, they start urinating everything. And that's why it's a vicious cycle. So now they're always thirsty. They're drinking more, but the kidneys aren't doing their job. It's all coming out the other end, you know, so it's a very important thing to keep monitoring for your pets. So that my hunch is that the reason why they are drinking less now is they don't need it. The body doesn't lie. So when on freeze-dried food, I can definitely tell you that's probably why earlier that he was drinking more. How do I have a cough, something stuck, or instead of the cough, a kennel cough? So great question. When an animal is coughing, what are the likelihood that something coughing, like because something's stuck in the throat, all right, or some sort of cough process, either a kennel cough or just a tracheitis or an infection of some sort, a tracheal infection. When a dog goes through periods, think of it this way. If a person is choking, if there's something stuck, that cough is not going to let up. They're going to be choking. And if it gets to the point of blocking an airway, that's a medical emergency. That's where you do a Heimlich. That's where you do something. They can't breathe. When everything is fine, and they're going through periods of coughing, but when they're not coughing, they're breathing fine, everything is fine, there's nothing stuck. I mean, could there be something causing a partial blockage? Yeah, maybe, but usually dogs that have something in the throat that's really inducing a cough because of irritation, they are coughing nonstop. So most likely this, another thing you can do, and this is how one of the things we test for coughing, is we pinch the neck and we can feel the trachea. It's a cartilaginous structure with the tracheal rings, and you pinch it a little bit. And when you pinch it, they start hacking, they start coughing. That is usually because of a tracheal irritation. And it's a dry hacking cough. Dry hacking, non-productive coughs are usually something tracheal, and it's likely, it could be a non-infectious. When it's kennel cough, we call it infectious because it's coming from a bug. Tracheal bronchitis. When it is just a tracheal infection that wasn't due to being near another animal, it's still a tracheal bronchitis. Sometimes they'll get just a tracheitis. The airways are fine. The airways are clear. You take x-rays. Everything is cool. But they have this very sensitive cough. Sometimes they can get a tracheal collapse. We see that in usually small breeds of older small breed dogs. And over middle age to older, and that's where the trachea, the rings are just disintegrating it, so the trachea is like mush. And ultimately, lastly, something called a redundant dorsal tracheal membrane. There's a membrane inside there that sort of like falls down and loses its tone, and it narrows the lumen of the trachea. And again, having trouble getting air in and out causes irritation, and we get that dry, hacky, what we call non-productive cough. Is Aquaphor okay to put on dogs? Yeah, it's probably okay. The only thing is with any of those topical creams is that if you have a certain patch that's very dry and you want to moisturize it and use something good like Aquaphor, that's okay. However, got to keep in mind, when you put Aquaphor on you, wherever it is on your body, how long does it take you to lick it off? Well, of course not, because you don't lick it off. Dogs, when they have something on them, especially something that is thick, that has viscosity, it bugs them. That's why when I'm doing something topical on dogs, I prefer anything with a water base, not alcohol base. Because if it's an irritation and you use something with alcohol base, it's going to sting. But anything with a water base is okay. And my preference, whether it's something because it has antifungal, like it has ketoconazole or chlorhexidine or benzoyl peroxide, if it's a bacterial, or better yet, a combination of both, you want something that doesn't sting when it is applied. Ointments and creams, they're okay, but you got to make sure they don't lick them off. So, but there's nothing toxic with Aquaphor. Yes, Eloise, have a great holiday for everybody. Everybody have a great holiday. So one of the holidays, the Hanukkah, is over. Last lights are tonight. Tomorrow's the last day. And then a day and a half later, we're into Christmas. So one after another. Last year, interestingly, because the calendar, the lunar calendar and the solar calendar are different, they actually overlapped almost completely. This year, it's a little different. Next year, it's going to be, Hanukkah is going to be even earlier. And so, but, and then, yeah, it's a whole different system of leap years. When in the lunar calendar, it's not a leap year adding a day. It's a leap year adding a whole month. And then, so what happens is everything gets pushed back. And I mean, I remember years ago, Hanukkah was during Thanksgiving. And then last year, it was during Christmas and New Year's. It's crazy. So anyway, yes, we could talk, any questions about, you know, when it comes to the decorations, when it comes to the foods, because of Christmas, there's a lot of festivities, a lot of people, a lot of exposed electrical cords. There's going to be, you know, even more decorative candles, the same things, small ornaments coming from the tree. You just got to be really careful. All right. They urinate a lot on pads. I'm not sure where the liquids are coming from. Their diet consists of eggs, salmon, beef, zucchini, green beans, and all. So what's happening is they are urinating a lot, and it's not a bad thing. Now, of course, if it's the same diet and all of a sudden they start drinking more, peeing more, then yes, we need to do some testing. If nothing's changed and it's just a change in diet, it's most likely they're getting a lot more water in their diet. All those things you mentioned, especially the vegetables, have a lot of water. So the what you need to do is, just to be safe, I would have the urine checked and maybe blood checked as well. I don't know how old the dog is. And if you're dealing with something that is, if it's an older dog, I would just do a blood test or analysis. I guess you want to check out the kidneys. You want to check out whether there may be Cushing's disease. Just the fact that it happened with the diet change, I think it's just the diet. But again, if it's persisting and you want to be sure that it's nothing else and it's just the diet, then you want to get some testing done. Hey, JB. All right, hold on. Okay. Steve, how you doing? We'll talk to you in a little bit. Steve is one of the five December babies. His is coming up, actually Christmas Day. You know, it's interesting. I always say some of our classmates were born the very end of 1953, including my brother-in-law. And then a couple of us that have birthdays in December. One is coming up on the 29th. Our birthdays were the end of December 54. So I often joke with my brother-in-law that we're the same age, 71, for 11 days. After that, he turns 72. All right. Okay. Eloise, is it true that raw should not be fed before 1 year of old? Boy, I don't. Yeah, if there is something about that, I haven't seen it. If it was true, I would guess it's something to do with the gut flora and its ability to deal with some of the potential pathogens in raw foods, such as E. coli, Salmonella, Campylobacter, Listeria. It very well could be, because the immune system of younger dogs may not be developed enough to fight off the potential bacteria that might come from raw diets. So is it possible? Let's put it this way. If there was some article or something in a scientific journal that stated that, I would say, okay, that makes sense. If it's just empirical because somebody more naturopathic is coming up with it, a theory that has not been tested, which is possible also. So I guess the question is, if it is true, is it so terrible to either do something like freeze dry or ACPP on dogs under a year of age? I mean, my personal opinion is no dog should eat raw food without one of those two processes, freeze dried or ACPP or a combination of both. But I can't promise for sure that they're going to get sick. Why? Because, as I just discussed, that if your dog's immune system is okay and primed to handle the potential for those bacteria, the big four, and there are probably others, but we say Salmonella, E. coli, Campylobacter, Listeria, then they can eat raw. I mean, look, I eat sushi. That's raw fish. Is it the best? No. Do many people get sick? Yeah. But it all depends on the quality of the fish, et cetera, and what, you know, what precautions are being taken in the preparation of and the storage of this fish. So anyway, but I can't tell you for sure. I've not heard it, Eloise, Vicky, so if there is something there. So, all right. Did a urine test. She is still licking her private parts. Well, if she's licking private parts, all right, and the urine is all normal, the bloods are all normal, then I would look at some sort of dermatitis. Or think about this also, is that when dogs are licking their privates or anything back there, licking skin, when we collect urine, we usually, and I would imagine this was done this way, is something called cystocentesis. We are taking urine directly out of the bladder, okay? So when you have free catch, for example, that's why I don't like doing free catch in dogs and cats, because you may pick up bacteria on the way out. It wasn't air in the bladder. It's not a urinary tract infection. It's more of a skin or a urethral infection from the urethra, or a vaginitis, or a prepucial infection from the penis. So yeah, it's hard to differentiate. That's why we take it directly out of the bladder is the better way to collect urine. Now, could she have, all right, an infection in the vaginal canal? Absolutely. It's exposed to so many different possibilities. If you look at the anatomy of a dog and a cat, the anal opening and the vaginal opening is like, what, not even a half an inch away from each other? They're bound to get infection. So again, it could be more just a really bad infection. Keep the area clean, use wipes. And if you want to have it, if you really want an answer, then you can do a culture swab of that area and see what comes up, and then treat accordingly. So, but it's if the urine test was collected right, that just means it means one of two things. The licking around the area is going to be more of an allergy and an irritation and a skin infection or a urethral infection or a vaginal infection, in which case you still want to treat. All right. I'm seem very healthy, better than ever. Good thing. Okay. MDR dog who is on metronidazole and I think ursodiol. Sometimes you have acid buildup. What's a good remedy? Well, it's interesting. Acid buildup, where? Are we talking about acid buildup from regurgitation and spitting up acid, right? Or are we talking about acidic urine on the subject of urine? So if it is like more of a GI acid, omeprazole or Prilosec, which is Prilosec, or famotidine, which is Pepcid. So I usually recommend for most dogs half of an over-the-counter Pepcid or half of an over-the-counter Prilosec. And that's usually will help solve that problem. And you also, maybe in the evening, because that's when the acid buildup is the most, is you want to give them a late night snack. And about 15 minutes before that late night snack, give them the half of Prilosec or the half of Pepcid and see if that works. And let me know, by the way, because that would be interesting to follow up. In the meantime, let's take a quick break here on Pet Life Radio, and so they can do their commercials, and I will stay here on Instagram to chat a little bit more with you.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5-mile walks. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's carnivora.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We're back live with everybody. So, a friend's full-size poodle was put down last Friday. The dog was seizing and having excessive drooling. They said canceled August 3. Wow. Well, with excessive drooling and seizing, I would think there could be something going on in the back of the mouth, the throat, the sinuses, or part of the brain. And unfortunately, if it was an oral-based problem, even in a young dog, I would think melanoma or some sort of sarcoma, soft tissue sarcoma. In the brain, it could be a million things. It could be also a sarcoma. It could be carcinoma. So there are many, many tumors. Unfortunately, and I don't know if a seat, the only way to make this diagnosis, especially with a combination of a seizing, a young dog, and the drooling. Now, could the drooling and the seizing be because of epilepsy? Certainly could be at 3 years of age. But I don't know. I would need more information. I would need to know the time between seizures. I would need to know how the dog was acting between seizures. Dogs with epilepsy are 100% normal when they're not seizing. And the drooling could be also part of that weird behavior as part of the seizure itself. So it really could have ranged anywhere from a problem with pure epilepsy or seizing because of some sort of brain lesion, infection. And, you know, again, I need more data. So you tell me that they did an MRI and it showed a lesion somewhere in the brain or the back of the neck, the throat, in the nasal sinus, then I would say, okay, probably a tumor. If they never did it and they never treated the dog with anti-seizure medication, or if they told me that in between these seizures, how often were they, how frequent were they? And have they been going on for a long time? During the interim time, the non-seizing time, was the dog acting normally? So this is what I wanted to talk about at the end of the show, is exactly this type of thing. And I've been seeing too much of it. And I personally find it very annoying, but we'll get into it in a minute. I'm going to be on my soapbox. Every now and again, I feel like I deserve to be on my soapbox. Could intermittent morning vomiting or bile be caused by overexercising? Not usually overexercise, but back to the GERD, the gastric esophageal reflux disease, or the excess acidity in the morning. Well, you know, remember, we're vertical creatures. When that stuff comes up and hits us right here, okay, what happens? It's called heartburn. And there's medicine for that. Then it goes back down. Dogs, however, they're horizontal creatures by nature. When it starts coming up, it's coming all the way. So we get that yellow bile in the morning. It's very acidy. What I would do before starting, you know, freaking out is two things. We talk about it all the time. Number one, take about a third of dinner, quarter of dinner, set it aside for 9 or 10 p.m. Give them a late night snack. Let them go to bed with something in the stomach. And a little bit before, 15 minutes, 20 minutes before that late night snack, you give them their half a Prilosec or half a Pepcid. And it could be the generic, famotidine, it could be omeprazole, but that's what you want to put them on first. 15 minutes later, give them their little leftover food. So it's they're going to bed with a late night snack. First of all, the dogs will love it. And secondly, that's the first step in seeing, really, is this a problem, or is this just a little esophageal reflux by going to bed with an empty stomach? Okay, Louis Vuitton drinks from the 5 water fountains I have for the cats. They all drink more than from a bowl. She able to gulp and overdrink, which is like, okay. So I'm a big fan, but it doesn't make a difference what I like. It makes a difference what the cats like. So two of my cats love to drink from a faucet. One is almost exclusive faucet. The other one will go, he goes either way. So I have an ongoing waterfall faucet. Then I have a faucet in the kitchen, which my cat, who loves to drink from water from the faucet, is, he's amazing because he can turn the water on. Unfortunately, he can't turn it off. So I'll walk into the kitchen sometimes and that water is going full streak. I look and said, Ninja, you did it again. So now I have to put like a string or something around the faucet so he can't open it. And if I forget to do that, which I sometimes do, yeah, yes, we waste a lot of water. But some cats do it. Well, look, cats don't usually drink a lot of water. So when I have a cat that does, and I took him in to test him, and his kidneys are fine, his urine is perfect. So you know what? I'm letting him be. All right, John, how you doing? Ivy Blue-Eyed, MBR dog. Unmetronized or style is a very acidic stomach. And remember, so we talked about that already. The metronidazole and ursodiol. So those metronidazole are usually used for diarrhea, acid diarrhea. Ursodiol, you know, we use that either sometimes we have an elevated alkaline phosphatase or we have a gallbladder problem. We use to get rid of some of the gallbladder sludge. So, but again, the acidity stomach, same thing. The omeprazole or famotidine, half a tab for most dogs, and feeding a late night snack. All right, half pipe joined. I read anything about a new company that have these shot. Rabies shot is dangerous. Okay, the Merck rabies shot. You know, there was a big thing that just came out. A lot of this information online is written by non-experts, non-scientists, non-veterinarians. And the data coming from Merck, which is a huge company, I just don't think they make plenty of money. I don't think they would put something out that was not safe. It's been tested. Actually, it's been tested in Canada first, and Canada's pretty tough. And the safety features are all there. So, you know, again, my feeling is if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm using a rabies shot that I know from tried and true. I've been using for years and having very little issues. Sometimes a local, irritation at the injection site, but that's it. So am I quick to move to another rabies shot that's probably more expensive because it's brand new and it's all this fancy stuff? I'm not ready, but I cannot say it's not safe because none of the scientific data coming from independent sources, independent veterinary schools, and the FDA have proved it to be safe. So, I mean, just, you know, do your own homework, do what makes you feel good, but air dried, not, yes, it's okay. If it's probably okay because it's been dried for a long time. All right. I know I got that, Eloise, Vicky, I got it. I knew what you were talking about. High liver enzymes for Prilosec. I've not had a reaction to the Prilosec, and I haven't seen it in a lot. You know, we use Prilosec for many different things, so it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. If you saw a report from a scientific journal that indicates a link and not just the higher liver enzymes, but an effect because of those enzymes, yeah, please let me know. Okay, feed your dogs. My lab looks amazing. My lab is amazing. I feed something called iVet. Long story short, one of my colleagues, we're going back 20 plus years, 30 years ago, a guy named Dave Geyer, he probably is gone. I haven't talked to him in years. He was working, he was from Hills, and he's joined a small startup company called iVet. They wanted to do the prescription type foods, but a little higher quality, less BS. And he would want to know if you gave me the first, you know, number of bags for free, would I try it and talk about it, which I did. Well, that was 30 years ago. My dogs still eat it. They look great. They're doing fine. They love it. They have like high energy. My daughter uses her crazy dogs, the high energy one. I feed adult for most of my dogs. For my old lab, 14, I give him senior and he's doing great. They also have one that's just a basic maintenance. They also have one for weight reduction. So it's good. I can get it online. It's just called iVet and you pick the one you want. And I've been very lucky. Yes, late night snack. I love that idea and I'm glad it worked. All right, real quick, soapbox time. And I've done this before and I don't want to rag on anybody, but I have to say my frustration levels. And if you have to turn the show off, Mark, I know if you don't mind listening and having your listeners listen to this, because it might help them as well. So there's a certain feeling that when you go to a specialty hospital with specialists, you're going to get answers and you're going to take advantage of the fact that these are specialists. What I've been seeing lately, and I understand one thing, I am a GP. I love being a GP. I get to do a little of everything. I joke, I'm the jack of all trades, master of none. And I can probably handle 80% of any discipline. And the top, I mean, I'm sitting also, in fact, I have two animals right now with the dermatologist that have baffled me, an internist and cardiologist. And I, you know, they're saying, like I say about any veterinarian, any body in any field, you have to know what you're good at, but more important to know what you're not good at. You don't want to think you're good at something, because when you think you are, but you don't know for sure, then you're going to be demise. It's going to kick in the behind. So, and I say this all the time. So when I have clients that have gone to a specialty group and they're not getting the response and they're spending thousands, not hundreds, thousands, it just frustrates me. So I said to this new brand new client, was in once, a stack this big of problems with what's called UPC, all right? Urine protein creatinine ratio. That's usually a glomerular disease where protein is leaking through the kidneys. The kidneys aren't doing their job. And they were researching and treating this problem. Now, I'm looking at all these results, and there's been no improvement. So the first thing, but the animal, except for that, is acting totally fine. It's drinking a lot of water, okay? And I'm thinking, okay, let's take the blinders off for a second. Just because you have one feature that's bad doesn't mean that's your answer. Now, at the beginning, yes, but when it stops working and the treatment's not doing any good, it's time to say, okay, and this is what's happening. When you go to these specialty hospitals, trust me, you're probably not seeing the specialist right away. You're seeing an intern. Out of school a year, maybe two. Maybe they're doing a two-year or one-year internship. Then you have the residents. Well, residents, yeah, they're good, but they just finished an internship. Maybe they're at, what, 4 years, 5 years? No. And you think at least they're running everything by the specialist that's been out 30 years or 40 years and has experience? No. In fact, I've had this case, no specialist got involved. And I'm thinking, no, this is crazy. So I said, send me all the data, send me everything. So I'm looking not from what they told, I'm starting from scratch. And yes, the urine protein creatinine ratio is high. So I noticed a couple of other things that are unusual. The kidneys are perfect. Every single test they ran, not a single thing wrong with the kidneys. Well, if you have really true glomerular disease, you're going to see something. We call it azotemia. One of the big three kidney enzymes are going to be elevated. Not a one. Secondly, the urine specific gravity is very low. So back to this water drinking, this dog is drinking a lot of water. Okay, so now that's really weird. So I look at the bloods and I look at first the protein. If you're leaking a lot of protein into the urine from the kidneys, you would expect the blood protein to be dropping. Guess what? Every single blood test, the albumin, protein, globulin, totally normal. So now I'm saying, okay, this is a puzzle. One other thing I noticed at the very first blood test from the first referring veterinarian, that an enzyme from the liver called alkaline phosphatase was close to 700. High normal is 100. Some labs, 130. So now my brain is working. Wait a second. We have dilute urine. We have a very high alk phos. It's not kidneys. It's not really, maybe a glomerular disease. And yet there's high protein in the urine, and that's it. I asked, is this water dog drinking a ton of water? Because the urine specific gravity was very dilute. And the answer is, of course, yes. Now, forget the urine protein for a second, all right? When a dog is drinking a ton of water, okay, and peeing a lot, and also having some hair issues, skin issues, I'm thinking, well, okay, what makes a dog? You can have diabetes. You can have a disease called Cushing's. All right, you can have diabetes insipidus, water drinking diabetes. And I asked them, has anyone ever talked to you about a disease called Cushing's? Because with Cushing's, you can get high urine protein and you're going to get lots of water drinking and you're going to get thin skin and hair loss in some areas and all these things and drinking a ton of water and high alkaline phosphatase. Not one, and this is a specialty hospital, not one tested for Cushing's. And now I'm going, I can't believe it. This is unreal. Because when you go to these places, in your mind, you feel you're going to get the best of the best. I send you sometimes to these places because I'm an expert. But if you don't see that expert, what good is it? But certainly I'd like to charge you. So buyer beware. You need to know when this is happening that you are getting the expert that you're being sent to see. Now you may, of course, the first visit will be an intern, right? Maybe a resident, but you want to know that your dog is being seen, these values, these results. Because when I took these tests and my philosophy, my theory to an expert, right, who's a colleague who comes in to my office to do ultrasounds, he looked at it and he agreed with me 100%. I'm just a regular guy. How did they miss this? They must have done 6 or 7 follow-up blood tests. Everyone was a renal panel. Guess what? The renal panel shows all the kidney enzymes. It does not show the liver enzymes. No one followed up on a dog that's PUPD, drinking and peeing, okay, dilute urine, normal kidneys, normal protein, and high alk phosphatase, and not one said, let's follow up on this one. Maybe we're looking at the wrong place. Anyway, so I'm just so frustrated. And I'm embarrassed. Really, I'm embarrassed. And I'm worried. I am. I'm worried about all of you because I was funny. I was just this morning, I was having coffee and I bumped into a friend of mine who is, he's a formerly a neighbor. He moved out of our area, but he lives in Century City now. He's an MD, a medical doctor. And he asked me if I'm still practicing. And I asked him, are you still practicing? Because he's a couple years older than I am. He goes, yes. I said, I don't know. Are you noticing just a difference in the young doctors? He said, oh my God, he starts laughing. He goes, we were just talking about this. He goes, one of the reasons why I'm not retiring is because I'm afraid for my family and my grandkids. Because what's out there is, it's just so frustrating. So when you go to these places, do yourselves a favor, okay? And make sure that if your vet, your general practitioner is going to refer you to someplace, make sure you see the expert at that place, not an intern, not a resident. In fact, I often joke when I see reports like this, I see that somewhere they're missing the boat. I say, let me ask you a question. Was this doctor, 14, 15? How old was the doctor? And they start laughing. They go, no, she was young. Of course she was young, because you don't get wisdom. That comes with experience. But what they don't do, they get on these in this rabbit hole and they keep testing for the same thing, thinking it's going to change. It hasn't changed. It's been on a medicine even, telmisartan, that is supposed to help with the urine protein, and it's not working. They're increasing the dose, still not working. Well, maybe because that's not the problem. So anyway, just keep in mind that I want you guys to be safe. I want your pets to be safe. And when you need help from an expert, make sure you're getting the help from the expert. Why the high energy food? My high energy food is for dogs that are really, really active, running around. They're working dogs. They need more than just their regular adult or the maintenance, which is a dog who's sitting around his behind doing nothing. So because if you give too much and a dog that's not burning it, they're going to gain weight. So it's more intense, more concentrated calorie control, nutrients, because they need them if they're very active. That's the high energy. None of my dogs are super high energy. They're regular. Yes, please be aware about it. Well, I can never retire. I don't know if I could. I don't want to retire is a thing. I always say I'm lucky that I found a profession that it's not only my job, it's my profession, but it's my hobby. So I love it. All right. So I'm sure I burned your ears up. I apologize in advance for my ranting and raving, but I'm doing this for you, for your pets' futures, and for your pets' well-beings. I hope you appreciate that. And if you have any questions about any of this, you can always call me. You know how to get a hold of me, Dr. Jeff at PetLifeRadio.com, Dr. Jeff at DrJeff.com, on AirVet. If you need help 24/7, go on AirVet, but you will get the help you need. And be careful when you walk into those ridiculously high corporate-owned practices, that their philosophy has gone away from caring and pet care, and it's gone to profit. And that just annoys me to no end. Anyway, have a great last night of Hanukkah. Have a wonderful Christmas coming up. And we will be here, same bat time, same bat channel, next week here on Pet Life Radio and my IG Live. Take care.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.